one of the biggest things in movies and TVs and other stuff is the family unit. It's a really popular unit. For example, there's famous families. And some of the older people recognize both of these pictures. A lot of the younger kids are probably like, who are they? Left-hand side is the Jackson 5. That's one of the most famous musical families ever. And on the right-hand side are the Bee Gees. Yeah, I only know one of their songs, Staying Alive. I don't know how they sing so high. But those are two really famous musical family groups, right? One's a set of brothers, one's another set of brothers and a sisters. So you got two different musical families, but here's two other famous families. Do you guys recognize either of them? Left one is actually the Bush family. We have George H.W. Bush, a former president, and his son George W. Bush, a former president. And you have Jeb Bush, a former governor. So that's also a really famous political family. On the right-hand side is another really famous political dynasty, the Kennedys. Of course, this is like a long time ago. But, you know, you're kind of famous for being these political families where family members are all big politicians. Famous TV shows, for example, Family Matters. Steve Urkel, although he wasn't technically one of the Winslows, he acted more or less like one of the Winslows. On the right-hand side was Frasier, where he had a father and two grown sons, and then their sons got little families too. So in TV shows, for example, there's a lot of families. Again, there's famous in movies as well. You have the most famous father-son relationship is Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker. And then Princess Leia's, I don't know, she's somewhere else in this picture. And then on the right, you have the Corleones, which are the Corleones, which is the family from The Godfather. But the family is such an important concept. Almost every single genre or whatever has families. From music to movies to television, it's all about the family. Family is such an important thing, right? When you go to holiday season, it's spending time with the family. You go spend time with the family. Family, family, family. I'm going to grow up and start my own family. Family is such a central concept to a lot of our lives. And the question is, what is necessarily a biblical family? Who is my family? Because on one hand, there's sort of two sides of the thing of a family. On one hand, it's inclusive. These people are my family. They're my blood. They're my whatever. I'm going to care 100% for them. But on the flip side, there's also a bit of an exclusionary side, too. There's an inclusion of, this is my family. I'll do everything for them. But there's also exclusionary where you go, that's not my problem. That's not my family. It's not my business. I think I've mentioned this before, right? The somebody else's problem field from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. In this one satirical science fiction book, in the future, instead of developing an invisibility field or a cloak which made things invisible, they invent something called the somebody else's problem field, where you cover the object and it emits this field where your brain responds as, oh, that's somebody else's problem, so you don't notice it. So in the book, they have a spaceship that lands like in the middle of like a soccer field. It's in the middle of a soccer field, and it's like a huge, all these stands. And all these people are there. And the guy's like, how come they don't see it? And the guy's, well, we have a somebody else's problem field. So even though there's a spaceship in the middle of a soccer field, everybody in the stands thinks it's somebody else's problem, so they totally ignore it, as if it's not there. But I think a lot of times we acted a little like that. We think that, you know, I do everything for my family, but then these people are my family. They're kind of somebody else's problem, right? They're, you know, how many of you, especially Chinese parents, you know, I do everything for my kid. That kid's really messed up. Somebody should help them. Not me, though. That's not my kid. I don't touch that, you know? There's sort of that mentality a lot of times in Chinese culture where it's like, my family, I'll die for them. That's not my son, so I should get somebody else to take care of them, not me. But the question, biblically speaking, is who is my family? One of the biggest points in the New Testament that's really iterated repeatedly is that the biological relationship takes second place to spiritual relationship. Because in modern society, and just society in general, it's always about the biological relationship. I am your father or mother or brother or sister because we share parents. We share blood. We're legally related. But the biological relationship takes key, but in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, the biological relationship is not the primary source of family. It's secondary to the spiritual relationship. Take, for example, relationship to Abraham. So a lot of Jewish people back in the day said, hey, Abraham's my great-great-great-whatever grandfather. Therefore, I'm automatically God's chosen people. And this is John the Baptist talking. And when these Pharisees come, he says, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. So there's people back in the day that said, hey, I'm Abraham's great-great-whatever grandkid. Therefore, I'm automatically God's chosen people. I'm part of God's family because I'm related to that guy way back then. And then John the Baptist says, hey, don't do that, because God can literally make stones turn into like people that are Abraham's descendants. God can make biologically related people out of rocks to Abraham. Your biological relationship means nothing. You got to live accordingly. And this is kind of a long thing, but Jesus says, I know that you are offspring of Abraham, so they are biologically Abraham's children. Yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. I speak what I've seen and heard of my father, and so on. And then they answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did. And then literally he says, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. But notice the idea here is that they're saying, I'm biologically related to Abraham. And then Jesus says, no, it's not about the biological relationship. It's how you are spiritually related. He says, if you are their children, you will live accordingly. So they just relied on the biological relationship to say, I'm related to Abraham. But Jesus says, no, your faith has to be in accordance to that. To be children of God, you don't just have a biological relationship, you have a spiritual one. And then, of course, one of the biggest examples, Paul writes, but now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. So notice that the relationship with Abraham is not based on physical descendancy. It's not whether you are Jew or you are Greek. It's not whether you're male or female. It's not anything physical or biological. Notice that it's if you are one with Christ. If you belong to Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, if you have faith in Jesus Christ and live accordingly, then you are heirs of Abraham, right? I remember that one song, Father Abraham, when I was a little kid. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham, I'm one of them, so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. So I was remember, I was like, dude, I'm not Jewish, what is this about? So I'd be like singing the song as a child, I was like, I'm not Jewish. Like, none of us are Jewish, what is this? I'm Chinese. But the thing is that we're not biologically Abraham's children, but spiritually we're Abraham's children. Think about it this way, in the Bible, you have Isaac and Ishmael. Ishmael is physically Abraham's descendant, but Ishmael is not spiritually his descendant, because Ishmael does his own thing. And then Isaac is spiritually his descendant. Jacob and Esau, they're both physically descended from Abraham, but one became a hated group of people, and one became the people of God because of their spiritual relationship to Abraham, not their physical relationship. And of course, Jesus. When Jesus is talking to people, his mother and brothers stood outside, asking to speak to him, but he replied to the man who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So in this case, there's Jesus' biological mother and Jesus' biological siblings out there. And people are saying, Jesus, your family's out there, your biological mother and your biological family's out there. Jesus says, hey, my brother, my mother, my sister, and so on are my spiritual people, the ones that follow me spiritually. They are my family. So notice that he just shoots down that whole like biological relationship to emphasize that spiritual relationship is the most important one. That his family isn't a biological family, it's a spiritual family. So our family is a family of faith, because if a spiritual family is secondary to biological, or biological is secondary to spiritual, therefore, our family is a family of faith, not out of biology, but of our faith in one God. For example, Paul never married, but Paul had a lot of children, spiritual children. For example, Timothy. Like, I have all these verses that he says, I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. To Timothy, my true child in the faith. Timothy, my child. You then, my child. He refers to Timothy as his child multiple times. That even though Timothy wasn't his biological son, in the faith, Paul was like a father to him. He treated him just as he would a son, because he is his son in the faith. Or think of Onesimus, the slave from Philemon. I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Onesimus wasn't Paul's biological child. Onesimus was a slave owned by a guy named Philemon who ran away, and then Paul met him when he was in prison. They're both in prison. They met each other. So biologically, they're not children. But spiritually, Onesimus was like a son to him. Or look at the Corinthian church. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. That Paul considers himself like a spiritual father to the Corinthian church, as older and more seniority over them. He's got more experience. He's got more life experience. He knows Jesus better. So he's like a father bringing up that church. So a question to all the parents, a little bit of a sidebar. The question is, are your children biological children? Are they only biologically part of your family, or are they spiritually part of your family? That's a very important question to ask for all the parents. Are you trying to raise up biological relatives, biological family members? Or are you trying to raise up spiritual family members, spiritually related to you? Because remember, this biological relationship lasts how long? Until we die. Think about when you guys get married, what's the thing that you guys all say? Till death do us part. You die. Remember what Jesus said to the Sadducees? Hey, there's no marriage up there. But then the spiritual family lasts forever, for eternity. And the question for all the parents are you raising temporary biological children? Or are you raising spiritual children? Are you a spiritual parent to them? Are you guiding them spiritually, or are you only guiding them biologically and earthly? And then Paul has a ton of siblings, spiritually speaking. We know nothing about Paul's family other than that he's Jewish and a tribe of Benjamin and some other stuff. But we don't know if he had any physical brothers or sisters. We don't even know about his parents. They're probably devout Jews. That's about it. But you see, here's some examples where Paul calls people his brothers. In Romans, he calls the Roman church his brothers a ton of times. In the Corinthian church, he calls them brothers and sisters a ton of times. And also, too, I only picked two of the churches because, like, every single church, he calls them brother or sister like 10 times. And then Quartus, I know Quartus, even him. Romans 16:23. Sosthenes is a brother. Apollos is a brother. Tychicus is a brother. Epaphroditus is a brother. And there's a lot more. If you do a Bible search engine for brother or sister in the New Testament, and then I was reading through the book of James, too. He calls them brother and sister like 20 times in that book. It's a tiny book, but he keeps calling them brothers and sisters. So notice that it's not his biological family, but it's his spiritual family. He calls them brother. He calls them sister repeatedly over and over and over again. And one of the questions I have to ask all of you guys is that we all acknowledge that we have one Father in heaven. We have a brother named Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking. But do we really act and live in a way that treats each other as brothers and sisters? You know, do we treat the older people as fathers and uncles and things like that? Do we treat older women as aunts and mothers? Do we treat younger people as little brothers and little sisters? Do we treat people our age as brothers and sisters? Or do we just provide lip service? Do we really treat them as a family? Because notice that Jesus, he dumps out the biological notion. That's not what it's important. It's the spiritual relationship. The biological one ends once you die. Spiritual relationship lasts for eternity. And the question is, do we actually place as much importance on this? That Paul has this whole huge, gigantic family, and he calls them brothers and sisters. He's willing to live and die for these people because he treats them as family because they are. And there's such an expansive family. For example, John writes, "Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are." There's other Christians that come in, and they do things at that church, and that church treats them as family, even though they don't know them, strangers as they are. These are Christians they've never met, but they still treat them as family. Do we do that? And the point is that fellow Christians in the church are our family. We're not a bunch of just people that come together. We're not made up of individual family units. We're all one united family in Jesus Christ. That's a very important biblical concept. That Paul calls all these different churches brothers and sisters. These are my brothers in Corinth and Colossae and Thessalonica and yada, yada, yada. All these people are brothers and sisters. And that Jesus says that the ones that are my brothers and sisters and mother and so on are the people that follow me. And the thing is that we're all spiritually one family, and that's even more important than biological connection. Biology ends at death. spiritual relationship lasts forever. And the thing is that, do we really think of each other as family? Do we see older people as older people in a family, like brother, like our older brothers, perhaps uncles, mothers and fathers, and so on? Do we see young people as little siblings to take care of? Or do we go, that's not really my family. That's, let them deal with that. That little kid, they're not one of my kids. You know, let their mom deal with that stuff. That kid, that adult, they have family issues. They have monetary issues. They're not my family. Let them deal with their own money by themselves. They're not my family. Do we act like that? Or do we treat them as family? Because when you watch all those movies, for example, on that list, there's a whole live and die for your family kind of a mentality in a lot of those. You know, family takes such primary importance in a lot of those TV shows and movies and music and so on. And do we treat our spiritual family as important as a biological family? Now, I know, of course, you have monetary things, so you can't feed everybody in the church. You can't house everybody in the church with, you know, unless you guys are that rich. But, right, you guys have certain time issues as well. All of us only have 24/7 a day and a week. But do you guys make efforts to go out and reach out to people as family members? Or do you guys immediately just say, well, they're not family? Yeah, I'm not. No, they're not family. Do you have that mindset? Or do you automatically go, they are my family in Jesus Christ, therefore I will treat them as family? So here's some application questions based on this concept. Do you care for each other as family? Simply put, right, we can say, right, we can call people IE and Susu and so on and so on. I'm Taiwanese, so I call people like Aku and stuff like that. So do you guys, when you guys call other people those titles, do you really act like it? Or is that just a title? You know, for the older people, when a younger kid calls you uncle or aunt, do you really think of yourself as an uncle or aunt to them? Or do you just go, oh, that's formality, whatever. You know, that kid's only calling me that because it's required by Chinese tradition, like Confucius will kill you if you don't or something. Like, do you really think, like, I'm their uncle, I'm their aunt, you know? Like, when they're little kids, right, you call older kids big brother and big sister, and vice versa. When people call you that, or you tell little kids to call each other that, do you really think of them as brothers and sisters, is that just a title? Is that a formality that means nothing? So do you care for each other as family? Paul says, it is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. Do we do things in our lives that hurt other people, or do we care for each other so that we don't do things that might harm each other? Because again, biologically, naturally, we go, well, that's not my problem. I don't need to worry about that. As long as my kids are okay, my family's okay, that's okay. I don't need to worry about whatever happens here. How about when Paul says to them, I say this to your shame. Can it be that there is no one among you wise enough to settle a dispute between the brothers? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers? To have lawsuits at all with one another is already defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? But you yourselves wrong and defraud, even your own brothers. Notice within the church that they were suing each other. There's a lot of arguments and bickering and bad stuff going on. And Paul says, you are suing your own family. What are you doing? That do we care for each other? That we put up with each other? Do things, you know, for example, I put up with more things from my brother when I was growing up than I would with normal people, but he's my brother, you know? Because he's family. I put up with more than if it was just random people. Are we willing to put up with each other as family members? Or do we just sue each other, attack each other, talk behind each other's back? Or do we really care for each other as family? Paul also writes, Thus, sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Here, Paul's talking about the idolatry where they would take meat and they would sacrifice it to idols for other, like, you know, pagan gods. And they would take that meat, after they sacrificed it to an idol, they would just put it there, and that meat would just go on the meat market. And so some early Christians had a qualm of, like, well, what if I go to the meat market and I buy meat that's been dedicated to some god of Apollos or whatever? Does that mean I'm also sacrificing to that god? Anyhow, they had some confusion going on. And Paul says, hey, if me eating meat might confuse somebody else into something else and make them confused and hurt them, I'm going to give up meat. Do we have that much care for each other? Or again, do we just say to each other, well, they're not my family. I don't really, you know, I'm not going to give up something for them. Or do we think of each other as family? Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, In this matter, no one should violate the rights of his brother or take advantage of him, because the Lord is the avenger in all these cases. Do we ever take advantage of each other? Because in a family, you don't take advantage of each other. Families that take advantage of each other are problems. That's a really big issue whenever, like, you know, a parent takes advantage of a kid or vice versa. That's just messed up. Do we do that in our family? And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Do we help each other out? Do we encourage each other? For the ones weak at church, again, do you go, well, that's the pastor's problem. Well, that's somebody else's problem. That's not my deal. That's not my family. Or do you go, hey, there's a new young believer in this church. He's a little brother. He's my spiritual little brother. I'm going to go out and raise up this little brother. I'm going to be the good big brother to them. Or, for example, the adults, when you see some other younger family, for example, suffering or doing something, they need some help. Do you think of them as some random family at church that sits there in church, sanctuary? Or do you see them as family going, hey, if that was my little brother's family, I would help them out. Or if that was my family members, I would do something. Do you treat them like that? Or do you just go, not my family, I don't really care. Do you encourage each other as family? Paul writes, finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Do we encourage comfort? Do we do things for each other? You know, for all of you people that have loss in families, one of the most hurtful, painful things that you'll ever see is not really you losing somebody, but you seeing a loved one suffer. I remember my grandfather passed away. The hardest part wasn't my grandpa dying, it was seeing my grandmother cry her eyes out. Because she was a loved family member. Do we do that with each other when we see each other suffer? I mean, think about it this way, like with doctors, right? Doctors aren't allowed to operate on their own family members because they'll grieve too much. You know, imagine a father operating on their own son or daughter. They don't have the nerves for that. Do we treat each other like that? Do we care for each other so much that when we see each other suffering, that hurts us really badly? When we see another church member lose a job, do we suffer with them? When I see somebody go through some hard times, cancer, I don't know what it is, do we suffer with them? Because again, with your families, I mean, think about it as parents, for example. When you see a little kid get hurt, I mean, that little scratch is nothing, but seeing your kid bawl their eyes out, that's painful. And the thing is that, do we live like that with each other in the church? How about, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. Notice that he kind of includes everybody. Old people treat as a mother or father. Young people treat as younger brothers or sisters. Do we encourage each other as family members? Or again, do we just say, yeah, you're not my problem? But do we think of everybody in the church like that? As a mother, brother, father, sister, something like that. Do we treat each other as family? Or do we just see each other as, like, for teenagers, oh, that's a cute girl right there, yeah. Think of her as your sister, sickos. So, and that's how I killed dating in my youth group. So, for all the adults, for example, do you see younger men? For example, we're trying to build up a young adult fellowship in the English congregation. Do the older people see the younger people as young adults, as little brothers and little sisters that need help, that need guidance from an older brother or sister? Do the adults feel that the young adults are like that? That I need to step aside and help these guys, these young people out. And the young people, hopefully you guys feel that some of the older people in the church are like your uncle, aunt, big brother, big sister, that kind of idea. Do you treat each other as family? Do you serve each other as family? That's a very important thing, because family serves each other, right? I know that mothers are famous for like dying for their kids. They'll work night and day for their kids, same with fathers. But do you ever reach out a finger to help out other people? For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Right? Jesus Christ has set us free. Paul says, don't abuse that freedom. Instead, use that freedom with love to serve one another. And do we serve each other in the church? Do we help out each other? How much do we contribute to this as a family? Do you look out for each other as family? Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. As family, do we bear each other's burdens? Do we look out for one another? Those of you that are more spiritual, do you look out for the less spiritual? Those of you that are older in the faith, do you look out for those younger in the faith? Do you ever help them out that are suffering, that are going through whatever? Do you bear each other's burdens? Because again, a family mentality, man, like parents will bear so much load for their kids and help them get through school. Families will do so much for family, but do we ever bear each other's loads in the church? Because again, we're spiritually, we're a family. Do we ever bear each other's loads? Do we help each other out? Do we serve one another? And do we look out for each other? Do you love each other as family? Do we just think of each other as people that come to the same building once a week? Or do we think of each other as family? Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Let brotherly love continue. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Do we love each other as siblings, brothers and sisters in Christ? Or do we again treat each other as people that come together once a week? By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Notice that two things kind of make it pretty obvious that you're evil. If you don't practice righteousness, you're evil. If you don't love your brother, you're evil. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Right? You know the baptism, right? Raised to walk in the newness of life, passing from death into life, and so on and so on. For John, the evidence that you are now passed from death into life is if you love each other in the church. If you love other believers, your spiritual family. So do you treat your church family as the real family? Notice, I'm going to summarize this real quick. James talks about works and faith. And the work that he describes is not going to church. The work that he describes is not giving offerings. The work that he describes is not other things. The example that he gives is if your brother in the faith comes to you and says, hey, I'm hungry. Hey, I need some clothing. Hey, I need something. If your brother in the faith comes to you and needs something and you say, hey, whatever, just go away. Hey, be full, be warm, whatever. See ya. Then that is not works. That faith without works is dead. And in this case, the works is looking out for one another that are in need. Do we look out for each other in need? Because if you don't do that, your faith is dead, according to James. By this we know love, that he had laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. So all of us like to say we are brothers in the faith, right? Chinese people all call each other Tishong, right, the adults. Something Tishong, something Tishong, you know. And the Americans, we don't really do on that side, but we say that we're family, but do you do it? John says, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Do we actually do it? We say that we have faith. Do we show our faith without works? Do we love each other as a family? Or do we just say that we love each other as a family and there's no works? Do we actually do it? So do you care for each other as family? Do you encourage each other as family? Do you serve each other as family? Do you look out for each other as family? Do you love each other as family? Do you treat your church family as a real family? Or are they just my second family, my lower class family, my figurative family, my metaphorical family, my second tier family, it's not my real family, I just call them family. Or do you really treat them as a real family? And the point is that we are family. We are all family. All of us, if we are believers, we're all related to each other through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ is more important than any physical blood in existence of the universe. That my relationship to my parents is a spiritual relationship. That's more important than my biological relationship with them. Because my parents' blood is nothing compared to the blood of Jesus Christ. And same with everybody else here. Your blood relationship physically is nothing compared to the blood of Jesus Christ. Your family here on earth, it's going to end. That's just a sad fact. Parents are going to die. Grandparents are going to die. You're going to die. Everybody's going to die. Hooray! That family relationship will end. But your spiritual relationship lasts million, billion, gajillion, and I don't know, bigger words, forever. And do we live like that? Do we treat each other as family? Are we actually family? Or are we just providing lip service? That means nothing. So I want to encourage you all, as you go out through the week, as you're away from the family, to ponder, are you family? Look out for one another. If you're an older Christian, look out for a little brother, a little sister. Look out for a spiritual kid. Help them out. If you're younger, look out for somebody older. Maybe find a mentor. Do something. Think of each other as family members to look out for. Not as just random people that come together in a church that I see. I don't know who you are. But rather, you're my extended family, man. You're all my family. So remember, we are family. The ones that follow Jesus Christ, those are my brothers, sisters, and my mother and my father. Those are my siblings, the ones that follow Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for giving us a spiritual family, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a family that will last forever. Thank you, Lord, for just giving us such a magnificent family, Lord, that there's so many brothers and sisters to look out for each other, and uncles and aunts and fathers and mothers to be there for us, to look out for one another. I pray that all of us will consider each other as family, not just random people, Lord, but that we're all united by your blood. And I pray that all of us will, again, live out that family relationship, Lord, that make it real in our lives and not just make it lip service or figurative, but make it a very real thing, Father. So I lift up this entire church, Lord, as one family here in Atlanta, another family at Mother Church, and the rest of our family in Northwest, and the rest of our family on the entire planet, Lord. I pray that we'll all be united in you as one family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.